New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench with you. So the Lakers beat the Hawks 107-99 in Atlanta, and they did it with AD having 25. LeBron had 21, 7-9. Schroeder had 16. Pope 11. Harold 19 and three boards to go with it. And the Lakers get it done on the Hawks side. Trae Young had 25. Collins had 22. The Hornets in overtime beat the Heat in Miami by 8, 129-121. Monk goes off, has 36. Malik Monk, you remember him? When's the last time Malik Monk went off in a game? How about never? Malik Monk has 36, 11 of 18 from the floor. He hit 9 threes. And then Ball had 14, 5, and 7 in his first start. Rozier was down with an ankle, so they went with LaMelo. 14, 5, and 7 dimes. He had a couple threes, shot poorly, 3 of 11 from the floor. Graham had 24, Zeller 19 and 12, the double-double. And Hayward had 19 as well. They beat the Heat. Butler had 25, Adebayo 23, and Robinson 16, Hero 11. They had everybody. Dragic was in that game. He was terrible. 1 of 9 from the floor. He had 3 points, 7 boards, 8 dimes. And the Heat lose in overtime to the Hornets. That's a brutal loss for the Heat. I mean, they are obviously 7-13. They are not the team at all that went to the finals. I mean, it just sucked the life out of them. Going to the finals and losing to the Lakers, the run they went on in the bubble, and then to turn around and have to play another season, is it not obvious to you that it caught up with them? I mean, they just suck. It's amazing to me. Now, I know they've had all kinds of injuries and everything else and guys out of the lineup, but they had everybody in the lineup tonight, and they still got beat by the Hornets, no less, and they're awful. But I'll give you this. They got a better record than the Heat, 10-11, but nobody's afraid of the Hornets. And all of a sudden, they go to Miami and win that game in overtime. That's a bad loss for the Heat. The Bulls won the game by 8, 110-102 over the Knicks. I know early on, Markkanen was having a huge game. He ended up with 30 for the Bulls, and LaVine had 21. I get sick of hearing about, let's trade LaVine. The guy scores 27 a game. And the Bulls want to, allegedly, he's been the center of trade discussions forever. And then as for the Knicks, they took the lead 97-96, but they lose. Randall had 23 to lead them. And R.J. Barrett had 14, 7, and 3. The Knicks are a lot better than anybody thought they would be. I'll give them that. Cavs beat the T-Wolves 198. They were laying three. They win by two. Bucks blow out the Blazers. 134-106 was the final. And bottom line is the Greek Freak had 18, Middleton 17, Holiday had 22, and Portis 21. We welcome in our radio affiliate, Satellite Radio, SiriusXM 204. That's our channel, Sports Grid Radio Network. Mightier 1090 in San Diego. Good to have you with us in SoCal. And obviously, Sports Map Radio and Sports Byline USA and Armed Forces Radio. Good to have you on the bench tonight. I'm Pharrell with Mafia. So 134-106 was the final. Bucks win it and handle the Blazers after their tough game the other night where Dame hit the winner to beat the Bulls. And then they go to Milwaukee and get whacked. Kings beat the Pelicans tonight in New Orleans, 118-109. Barnes had 24. How about De'Aaron Fox, 38 for the Kings. He was 14 of 24 from the floor, 3 of 10 from downtown. He had 12 dimes to go with it, 38-4-12. I love De'Aaron Fox. I think he's a badass. Pelicans, they get 20 from Ingram. And then Ball, Lonzo had 14. Bledsoe had 14, and Josh Hart had 15, but they lose at home. And it's funny, you know, you're always hearing about Zion Williamson and, you know, how great, you know, the Pelicans, they got this amazing player. He had 17 tonight, 8 boards, 2 assists. Too bad they're 7-12. I mean, the Pelicans suck. That's just the bottom line. That's all there is to it. Rockets blow out the Thunder, 136-106. They continue to play defense and win games. Christian Wood had 18. Wall had 18. Oladipo had 15. Eric Gordon had 25, including 5 threes. They blow out the Thunder in Oak City, 136-106. Mafia, what happened there? Suns win it, 109-108. Booker at the end with the big shot.
Yeah, Mavs went up by 2 with about 15 seconds left, and CP3 drives down into the corner, kicks it out to Booker for an open 3, and he nails it with 1.5 left. They win by 1, and the Mavs lose their 6th straight.
109-108 was the final, and Booker, D-Book's a badass. Chris Paul had 34, D-Book had 24. They had all 5 starters in double figures, plus Big Frank the Tank, Kaminsky, with 11. Big win for the Suns, and the Grizzlies beat the Spurs 133-102.
If sports talk stations were cars, we'd be the one that you drove the wheels off of in high school, cruising for chicks and going to the game on Friday nights, then forgetting where you parked it till Saturday morning and you had to get your buddy to drive you around looking for it.
I think I see it, man.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
He loves the Foo Fighters. Anyway, tonight in the Laker game, I don't know if you saw what happened, but I don't even know how late it was in the game, but LeBron got into it with a fan. Apparently this, and I only saw the tail end of it. I saw this guy arguing with LeBron or something. And LeBron admitted he had an exchange with the guy. But what got really interesting was when these women jumped up and they were all dolled out. And this game was in Atlanta and these chicks were like dressed to the nines. They had it all going, the fur coats, the diamonds, the earrings, the whole thing, you know, the nails, and they were drinking. They had cocktails. They were rocking. And the refs threw out 4 of them. I think 2 men, 2 women. I could be wrong, but I know that, 4 fans were ejected. I think what I saw was 2 chicks arguing with the ref and with LeBron, screaming and yelling. And after the game, they asked LeBron about it. He basically was like, I love the fans, and it's way better with fans in the arenas, and it sucks not having fans. So I got no problem with, He said, I love the fans, Laker Nation, and those that hate Laker Nation. And then he said, I think the advantage that they had in the fight was that they were all drinking. And that's a nice way of saying they were hammered. And he said, we weren't. They were drunk. We weren't. And he said, and then Frank Vogel got into it after the game saying, we can't have drunk women screaming and spitting on our refs. Because they were like right up in the ref's face. You could see it. Like I saw this chick and she was having none of it. Some blonde chick and she was having none of it. She was giving this ref the business. She was giving LeBron the business. And you could tell she had her wine swerve on. She had it all going. But I only caught a glance of it. I got to be honest with you. Just the tail end of it. So I didn't think she was that bad looking, to be honest with you. I mean, if you're going to get in a fight with a chick at the game, I mean, I'm in preferably with a hottie. You know, I'd rather get in a fight with a hottie than a heifer. And I'm just being honest, Mafia. You know how I am. I just tell it like it is. If people can't handle that, I know people are so sensitive now. I'm not from Sensitiveville over here. I'm still mean and like making fun of myself and others completely. But nothing like turning on the NBA highlights and seeing LeBron going at it with some hot blonde in the front row. And she's got like a big drink in her hand as she's arguing with him. Anyway, the Lakers won the game as the end of their road trip. They've been out on the road forever. So there you go. In that Grizzlies win, Mafia, 133-102, I'm telling you, that team is on fire. The Grizzlies are lighting it up. They're now 9-6, 7 straight wins. And that's crazy. I mean, they're playing well. They had all 5 starters in double figures. Plus, they had 4 guys on the bench in double figures. That's serious. They shot 55%, make it 56% from the floor. And they shot 50% from downtown. And I mean, they're a decent team. Remember we talked to Eric Hasseltine, the voice of the Grizzlies on Coast to Coast before I was on break. I just have to tell you, just so we can clear this up, Mafia will back me up on this. So I've had a number of people question my vacations. And listen, it's not that big of a deal. People get all worked up about when I'm not on the air, apparently. I don't know what it is about how I take off and suddenly I'm a villain. But here's the deal. Basically, from where I come from the side of the river I come from, my year ended Friday, right? So I've been at Sports Grid for a year. And so it was my last week of that year. And bottom line is I had days to use or lose, and I used them, and I still had days left. Mafia knows it's true. I have another week off, and I'm not even taking it, right? So I could have another week to enjoy myself doing nothing in the staycationville world we're living in. You can't go anywhere without being isolated for 10 days. I'm not quarantining for anything. I've already done that, so I'm not quarantining again because I'm going on a trip to the, you know, Caribbean or to the Florida or to California surfing, skiing, whatever. I'm not going anywhere where I got to quarantine. Kiss my ass, okay? So vacations suck. Every single vacation I took in the last year, I literally never went anywhere. I didn't even go down the street. All I did was play basketball, right? So it really sucked. I thought 2020 was the worst year of my life. I mean, I love working at Sports Grid. I enjoy it. It's cool and everything. But when you're trapped in your house for a year and you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything, you can't go on vacations with your family, things of this nature that you're used to or accustomed to doing, I think that sucks. So anyway, if it makes you feel any better, I know people said, well, this guy never works. Yeah. No one ever said anything when I didn't take a day off for 10 months. You know, I was there every single day from the day I started for 10 months. And then I finally started taking off. This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me. Because we need a little controversy, because it feels so empty. So let me read without Pharrell. That's a good job for me. So anyway, here's the good news. The good news is I'm not going to take a day off now for like 6-7 months. And the bad news is that once again, at the end of the year, I will, when it turns crappy and it starts raining and snowing, I'm out of here. And I hope to God, I pray to God this COVID Hanta is over by then so that I can go somewhere warm with chicks and G-strings or just nothing at all. Because where I go in the Caribbean, they don't even wear clothes. Everybody's naked. With a, you know, golden tan, naked. Naked. They got it all.
And if you don't know, now you know.
Now you know. So I'm going to go and I'm going to do it again. And it is what it is. But for the foreseeable future, as Mafia knows, I like to go on long runs where I don't take off any days, like from now through like the summer. I'm not a big fan of summer vacation. Everybody's, well, we're going up to the lake, the family and our best friends and their kids. We're all going up to the cabin. I don't do that. Okay.
Dear God, it's beautiful.
I don't go anywhere with anyone. I don't have like family. You know, dual family vacations or triple family vacations. I've already tried that before and wanted to kill people. So I just, I take most of my vacations when it's crappy. Like now, last week I was off. Suddenly, I wish it was this week because this week would have been better with the blizzard and everything. You know what I mean? So if it makes you feel any better, I'm going to be here every day. It would appear to me, unless I die, which could happen at any moment. But I'm gonna allegedly, Mafia, do every day now for just a very long stretch. Like I'm doing a prison stretch. Tell him, Mafia, don't I usually go 6, 8, 10 months without a day off?
Yeah, you do, and that was non-COVID years, too. You would just, you know, take something like right after the Super Bowl and not something until, you know, maybe July, and after that, it's not till the fall. You just kind of forget about it. You get locked in on doing great shows. Just you forget about taking off, and then all of a sudden it hits you, and you're like, oh, got to take off the next month.
Yeah. But, you know, there was some, you could feel there was tension with me taking off because I took off the first week in November and then Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and then this one. And people get all caught up in it. And I don't know why people are so invested in my vacations or when I'm not on the air. It seems to bother people tremendously. I don't, you know, it's weird. I never ask anyone. Mafia will tell me, he goes, I'm off Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'll be like, oh, all right, see ya. Or Carver High will take off and I'll be like, oh, when is that? He's like, yeah, next week I'm off. I'm like, okay, bye. Pharrell with you and Mafia. So by the way, not really exciting, but I am I spent the entire week off working on my project in my basement. So I'm building a studio, a TV and radio studio. Mafia remembers my old crib. I used to have a really cool little studio down in the basement. Believe it or not, Tony Siragusa, when he did Man Caves, wasn't that the show on Do It Yourself Network? That's what that show was called or something?
Yes, it was.
Anyway, he did my basement, and he built my Howard Stern studio. And I'm good friends with Goose. He's cool. And so I moved, obviously, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago or something like that, 5 years ago. And the house I live in now, I have to fix it, right? It's an old house, and there's all kinds of projects that need to be done. And I'm doing all those one at a time. They're only super expensive, cost a ton of money. And all I know is I've done all kinds of stuff to the house already. Nothing major, but I redid all the bathrooms and blew out bathrooms and built one huge bathroom upstairs. And then I did a powder room downstairs and all this. And now I'm working on turning the basement into a, you know, full-blown entertainment center, bar, party area, like an extra living split, you know, space. Just like totally blow out the basement, make it badass, and a party room. And then on the other side, I'm building a soundproof studio, a cool, like a separate room studio, a big ass studio room where I'm going to do all the shows from. And I'm going to work from in there. And it's taken me a long time to get it ready to build, because my basement was a disaster. It was like a absolute, when I moved everything into the basement. And then everything else went to where it went in rooms and all that. But all the boxes and everything from the other house, it all went to the basement. And the basement was a nightmare. So I cleaned it all out. And last week I did the final cleaning of everything. And I got everything out of the way. Everything's done. Everything's ready. Everything's good to go. And now this guy and his crew of like 10 are coming in to blow out my entire basement in a few days here. I don't know when, like a week or something like that. Anyway, I've been waiting for this dude to come do this for so long, I lost track of when he's doing it. But either way, that's what I did. So my exciting vacation was worthless. All I did was work my ass off, lifting heavy crates and boxes and junk and moving stuff. And you know, it just took forever. It took literally 7 days. So I did it, and I'm done. And now I'm ready to build this studio. And it's taking forever, but it's going to get done. Hopefully in the next 3 or 4 weeks, it'll be done and I'll be rocking and rolling and you'll see me in a new studio when I do Coast to Coast and when I do Pharrell on a Bench. That'll be cool. Hopefully that's going to come together nicely and they'll do a good job and it'll be badass. I know I'm excited about it and I know it cost me an arm and a leg. So hopefully it'll be worth it at the end of the day and it'll all come to fruition and it'll be kick ass. All right. So as far as college basketball goes tonight, the biggest game was Texas Tech and Oklahoma. I told you it was a 2-point game with about 25 seconds to go. Texas Tech won that game by 5. I don't remember. I know I got it at 5, so I pushed on Oklahoma, but I think it went to 5.5 on Coast to Coast today. I could be wrong. I don't even know. I'm probably wrong, but I got it at 5, so I pushed. I had Texas Tech winning, Oklahoma covering the 5. So that's how it ended. Red Raiders win it by 5. And then Loyola of Chicago beat Missouri State by 20. I hit that game. Memphis blew out Central Florida, 96-69. I hit that game, minus 9. I hit Wofford over East Tennessee State by 5. Murray State over Southeast Missouri State, 77-60. Drake absolutely blew out Illinois State. They beat them by 2 in overtime over the weekend and then beat them tonight by 35. So I guess I don't even know what to believe. How about that? That number went from 5 to 7.5. Oklahoma covered the number. Cover! And Indiana State beat Bradley. I gave you Indiana State today on Coast to Coast, 67-55 over Bradley. I gave you Austin P minus 4 over SIU Edwardsville. They beat him 74-59. Eastern Washington, the Hawks beat Sacramento State 94-79. I gave you this one too, Mavi. West Carolina to win and Citadel covering the 5.5. That hit both ways. And then Miami, I gave you on Coast to Coast today. They were getting, it was like, I got it at 8, 8.5, and it moved to 11.5. I said, there's no way they're beating Miami by 11.5 in Coral Gables. It's not happening. And sure enough, Miami beat Duke 77-75, beat him by 2. And kind of in an afternoon game, Louisville beat Georgia Tech 74-58. That was my top play. They hit and covered. And then Evansville beat Valpo by 7, and I stayed off of that game. So I have to ask you, Mafia, I was on in East Lansing today with my friend Mad Dog, and I go on there a lot in East Lansing. I was on the radio there forever, and then when I left CBS, that was the end of that. But either way, I've kept doing that show frequently. I go on with him. He's a cool dude. And I was making fun of Michigan State. Bottom line, they suck, right? There's no questions asked. They're awful. And I don't care what anybody says. He has never, in my recollection, I cannot remember a time ever that he's been this bad. Izzo has never, I don't remember once him ever having a team this bad. They are as soft as cinnamon rolls, and they just absolutely suck, and they do nothing right at all. And when they lose, I mean, they get whacked, right? So I'm thinking about them, and I was talking about them today. I'm like, if that team so much as even gets mentioned for the NCAA tournament, then shame on that committee. Shame on college basketball. Shame on everyone. If you suck as bad as they do, and Kentucky and Duke too, this is where I'm headed. If you're as bad as these teams have been, now, over the weekend, didn't we see a glimmer of hope from Duke? They had like a big win. And then they turn right around tonight and lose. And they lose to Miami. And I got to tell you, Miami is not good. They're 7-10. Duke's 7-6. And I think, I know this is their first game in February. And then over the weekend, they beat Clemson's ass, 79-53. Beat Georgia Tech by 7. And the last time, a week ago, Saturday, they lost to Louisville. And then that week, they had lost to Pitt. And then they had lost the week before that to Virginia Tech. So they have been so terrible. But then they showed signs of life against Clemson. They turn right around and lose to a crappy Miami team tonight. And I don't know what you think, Mafia, but I just cannot let – I'm still in a position where I cannot let Duke, Kentucky, or Michigan State – I'm sorry, I can't do it. I cannot let them into the tournament at this point. And now I am not letting Michigan State in at all. At all. They would literally, if they won out every game they played the rest of the season, then you might have a story that they earned it. But I'm sorry. When you're as bad as they've been in conference, when you're as bad as Kentucky has been, when you're as average as Duke has been, someone explain to me, Mafia, you. Explain it to me. How can any of them get into the tournament when you suck as bad as they suck? I mean, just for once, they got to show some onions and keep these three out of it because they don't deserve to be there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a crazy season. And obviously, it's going to be hard to figure out who's in, who's out. Usually, you know, you have like, okay, if you win 20 wins or you get this many, you know, good wins, that, you know, the RPI, all the stuff that they usually factor in, like it has to go out the window this year because of how many teams were, you know, Villanova was shut down for a month. Duke was shut down for a couple weeks. All these teams that were shut down, you're not going to get to the amount of games they usually get to. So obviously that metric of like 20 wins is out the window this year. I don't know how they're going to determine who's in, who's not, and who deserves like these top seeds. How is one team better than the other? But I agree with you. All these blue bloods that are, you know, really sucking it up this year, Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, don't let them in. Michigan State, they don't belong. They don't deserve it. And I love it that they don't, because it could be the first time ever March Madness is really up for grabs with anybody. Because all these other years, we start talking about these mid-major teams or these lesser teams in these Power 5 conferences, but how maybe it's one of these teams, maybe it's one of the non-traditional ones that are finally going to win it. And in the end, they choke, and we don't get them. They're not there. It's still Duke and Kansas and Kentucky. I would love it if those teams aren't even in the tournament this year, so we could get actually a real insane tournament of just a bunch of, you know, nobodies coming in there and trying to win the greatest trophy.
Well, look, I mean, Duke's 5-4 in the ACC, and there's only, you know, Duke, North Carolina, Louisville, Florida State, Virginia Tech, Virginia are the only teams with a winning record in conference. So they're going to try to sell you how Duke's got a winning record in conference and they deserve to be there. And it makes me want to puke. What I'd really like to see is, frankly, all of the schools that are playing well and that have a great record, I don't care who they played, if you're in this COVID and you're able to go out and play ball and you're able to have a really good season and a really good record, and you got a team that can, you know, you can be proud of because they've done all kinds of things. They're the ones that deserve to be in the tournament this year in Indiana. That's who deserves to be in the NCAA tournament. Not these schools that have a 500 record in conference in the SEC or ACC or Big East or anywhere.
We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
Don't believe us.
Never turn us off.
You'll see.
Keep listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
But here it comes again, straight through the heart. Straight through the heart. Straight through the heart.
right. So Pharrell on the bench. I was looking at, you know, teams. Obviously, I think it's pretty simple that, you know, the top 25 teams, let's say if it were tomorrow, right, and I was voting and I was on the committee, I'd be like, okay, all these teams, right, I would think coaches and AP, literally all of them are going to the NCAA tournament, right? Every one of those teams is getting in. Literally all of them. Drake, Purdue, Kansas, Florida, UCLA at the bottom of the barrel. If Florida State at 20, you know they're going. Wisconsin, Missouri, West Virginia, Vatek, Creighton, Virginia, Texas Tech, Illinois, they're all going. Tennessee, Alabama, top 10. Oklahoma, 9. Iowa, going. Ohio State, Texas, Houston, Michigan, Villanova, Baylor, and Gonzaga, they're all going. And then you look at the other ones. Oklahoma State, they're going. USC, they're going. Loyola of Chicago, I'd say they go. Minnesota, that's sketchy, but they had some big wins, so I could see them going. Xavier's had a ton of COVID problems, but they're good. They should go. Boise should go. I could see people saying no St. Bonnie, whatever, Belmont, St. Louis. Toledo, to me, deserves to go. Now, Oregon, Colorado, I think Colorado deserves to be in the NCAA tournament. I know they've lost some close games lately. San Diego State is a really good team, I think. I think they should go. UConn, that's borderline. Louisville, I mean, Louisville's got to go to the tournament, right? Like, you got to be kidding me. North Carolina, I'm going to put in over Duke. And then Georgia Tech's had some big wins. I'd say, you know, they're sketchy. Rutgers, I think Rutgers had some great wins. I think they're right there on the bubble. I would put them in. Look, Rutgers had better wins than Duke, Kentucky, and, you know, these Blues that think they deserve to go. Michigan State, they're not going. They don't deserve to go. So, I get it. Some people, you know, Minnesota, Louisville, St. Louis, Oregon, drop out of the, you know, top 25, drop out of getting votes. But I'm sick and tired of these free passes for Duke. And then, you know, Duke always deserves to be in the tournament. Fair enough. I'll give you that. But this year they don't. And they're going to get in. I'll bet my life on it because they're over 500 in the ACC. And they're over 500 overall. And they just can't get enough of Mike Krzyzewski. That's just all there is to it. He'll get a vote every time to be in that tournament, no matter what. Christ, if they had their way, they'd play every game at the Cameron Indoor in the tournament. They'd never make them go anywhere. They'd just let them have a free ride to the Final Four. That's what they want. College basketball cannot get enough of Duke. Trust me when I tell you. And you know it, right? It's automatic. You know it's true. All right, Mafia. I know that we got to get into some of this Super Bowl stuff. And I know we have some fantastic stuff tonight. First, on both sides of the ball, going into the game on Sunday. And Bucks, Chiefs. I told you earlier, I'm doing a show Sunday with Morenci. I think from 3 to 6 Eastern, right before the game. I think the game's at like 6:30 or something like that, right? I could be wrong. But I'm doing a show on Sports Grid on Sunday, so that should be cool. And we're going to be talking about this game all week long. I'm glad I was off last week so I didn't have to talk about it for 2 weeks. I want to kill myself. I can't handle the two-week talk about the Super Bowl. It's enough to drive me batty. I could end up in a rubber room. The other thing is Baseball All-Star Week. That's another one. I'll work during the Baseball All-Star Week. I'll be doing the show, and I'll want to just have a root canal. It's so bad. That week. I can't stand it. I could care less who wins the home run derby. I could care less. I mean, I'm just like, whatever. But this game is going to be so good. It's so hard to even gauge. Like, I don't think anybody knows whether they're coming or going on this game. I don't think anyone can sit there with utmost confidence and say, oh, it's automatic, Chiefs. Oh, the Bucks are going to win that game easy. They got this game in the bag. They're automatic. Brady's not losing a Super Bowl, except he's lost three. You know, they're playing at home. They got this easy piece of cake. Walk in the park, tiptoe through the tulips. I don't think anybody knows one way or the other. Mafia, have you made your mind up on the Super Bowl?
I have, but I wouldn't say that I'm, you know, heavily confident, and I think either team could definitely win. I think they both have – you can make a great argument for either one the way they played these last couple weeks, but I definitely have – I think the Chiefs are going to win the game. I think they're a little better. I think the banged-up secondary for the Bucs is going to be a problem for them. I think the defense has been great for the Bucs, but the offense has been okay. And the way that the Kansas City Chiefs played incredible defense against the Bills makes me think they could do a good job against Brady and the Bucs.
And then I thought they looked really good in the title game. I thought Brady looked really good in the title game. I thought he was dropping dimes, except for those three picks he threw. If he throws three picks against Kansas City, they'll lose that game as sure as I'm sitting here. Now we have, let's start with the Bucs. Leonard Fournette. What he credits his great play the past few games to, heard on the opening drive on NFL radio with Solomon Wilcots and Ed McCaffrey on Sirius XM. Here we go.
It's all about the confidence level. It's all about you at first. You know, you got to understand and trust in the hard work you put in during the summer just to get here and understand, you know, the playbook, things like that. But when you're on the field with your guys and you surround yourself with greatness and with other playmakers, it kind of rub off on off each other.
There he is, Leonard Fournette on Sirius. Chris Godwin says you have to be able to match the Chiefs offensively, heard on airing it out on Sirius XM NFL Radio with Shea Pebbler and Charlie Weiss on NFL Radio.
The biggest thing really is just, you know, sticking to our game plan. You know, we understand that there's going to be, you know, trading blows. They're a really, really good team, and they have a really explosive offense. So we understand that there will be times, you know, where they make their plays, and, you know, we have to be able to respond.
And, of course, the GOAT, Tom Brady, it took time for them to gel. This was heard on Moving the Chains on Sirius XM, NFL Radio with Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin.
You're getting to know your players. You're getting to know the system. You're getting to know situational football. All those things are a little different. It's not entirely different, but it's just a matter of getting in your brain so you can ultimately react and anticipate so you can, you know, go play well.
So Tom Brady, of course, eats better than you, lives better than you, has a better-looking family than yours, better-looking wife, better career. He's got better jewelry.
He is on fire.
He really is on fire. And today, when he was doing an interview, which was on the television screen, I think we ran some of it even on Coast to Coast, somewhere along the way, 34C, spotted Tom Brady and said, she said to young Chopper, my daughter, she said, you know, he does great work with his diet and with his Botox. He's done a wonderful job of hiding his aging. He has the elixir. He has the fountain of youth. She believes that he Botoxes his face. And I was like, do you really think that Tom Brady does that? And she's like, the guy looks like he's 26 years old. And I was like, you know, you're right, he does. And I'm old. I'm double nickels. I mean, I got receding hairlines, the whole deal. I got wrinkled. I got bags under my eyes. I got it all going. Meanwhile, this guy's, 43, Mafia? And he looks like he's 26. He literally looks better now. It's almost like he, even though he never did, it looks like he had, his hair is so perfect. Like, the amount of hair he has, he's never lost one strand of hair. And his face, he literally looks like the same as when he came into the league. I mean, he's not aged one day. And then to top it off, today the guy went on record at the Super Bowl media day, virtually. He went on record as saying he's thinking about playing, you know, he'll at least consider, he would definitely consider playing past 45. But he has to be 100% committed. He has to be all in. There can't be any wavering. But it sounds to me like, we already know he's definitely playing next year, and he's going to the Super Bowl this year. Going to play next year, Mafia. Do you think he'll play beyond next year?
I do not. I think now it's all rhetoric. I mean, obviously he's done a great job to get here. You can't take anything away from him. But there have been signs that it's not, you know, a normal Tom Brady season. Over the last couple of years, he's gotten it done with just enough. But, you know, those, like you said, those three picks in the title game, he's never done that before. And plus, you know, his wife was clamoring like 2 years ago for him to stop. If he plays another 2, 3, 4 years, You think she's going to stay with him? Come on.
So he, you think it's all rhetoric because he's going to, what he's going to do is he did say, he left the door open. He said, I'll know when it's time. So after next year, he'll say, it's time. I don't think I can go 100 all in. I can only go 90, 85% all in. It's not good enough for me. I only play at 100% commitment, and he'll bail. All right, let's listen to the Chiefs side. The MVP, the badass Patrick Mahomes, injured his toe. Remember, he's feeling a lot better. Heard on Moving the Chains on SiriusXM NFL Radio, our partners on satellite with Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin.
Going into that Buffalo game, obviously, I was able to move enough, but I felt like I was still restricted and wasn't able to use the same kind of agility that I always use. And having these extra few weeks here has really gave me time to let this thing heal and being able to rehab it back up. And it's getting to where it's basically back to normal.
Yeah, that's great news for the Chiefs and bad news for the Bucks. Eric Bieniemy, he doesn't mind putting his head coaching dreams on the side to focus on the Super Bowl. Heard on the opening drive with Solomon Wilcots and Ed McCaffrey on SiriusXM NFL Radio.
I'll sacrifice that as much as I can, because when it's all said and done with, it's all about making sure that we can be at our best when our best is needed. And our guys have been resilient this entire year. They've worked their tails off. And I just want them to make sure that we understand we want to eliminate the distractions. We don't want Eric Bieniemy being that distraction. So my job is to make sure that all my focus is on them.
That's Eric Bieniemy. I am surprised, Mafia, very surprised that he got basically passed over for any head coaching jobs in the NFL, and that everyone's going to say, well, he was busy coaching the Chiefs to the Super Bowl, and, you know, he did do interviews and everything. I am surprised the Texans didn't hire him. I'm even more surprised they didn't hire him, knowing that Watson was livid and that he wanted Bieniemy, and he didn't want the guys that they hired, the GM. He didn't want Esterby in there. They didn't want Casario. They didn't. They don't like the owner. They didn't. They were sick and tired of Bill O'Brien. I'm telling you, I've said it a million times. There were players that didn't like him, and he's finally gone. Everything since that guy left, everything, the owner, the new GM, Easterby, all of them, everyone, the players hate him, all of them, across the board. The only reason they put up with the owner is because he writes their checks. And then I think they shafted Bieniemy for this Culley guy. I didn't know Culley was black. I thought he was some white guy. I never heard of him before in my life. So at least they hired a minority because I thought they were just shafting Bieniemy and going with a white guy as usual. I never heard of the guy in Philly or the guy in Houston, both bums. Coach K, 2-4 in his last six, doing another press conference, doing another chat with ESPN, trying to talk his way into the tournament with his crappy team. Just for once, leave them out. They don't deserve to be in. They'll get in. They always do. They'll get in. They'll make the Final Four. I mean, they are terrible, and they'll still be in the Sweet 16. It's unbelievable. The guy is 5 national championships. I won't deny it. But anyway, going back to the other thing, the top story tonight, obviously jumping out at everybody, is Mickey Callaway, the former Met manager with the Angels, pitching coach now. Or, you know, he's been in that same role in Cleveland. Bauer hates him, wants nothing to do with him. Now, will this open the door for Bauer to go to the Angels? We'll see. Or did the Cohen thing turn him off in New York? Cohen now turning off Twitter because his family's been receiving threats and everything else ever since the GameStop stock chaos last week on Wall Street. So all I know is Mickey Callaway tonight, all over the news, that he, over the last several years, harassed allegedly at least 5 female reporters, media members, and, you know, explicit stuff, photos, the whole deal. One of the stories was I read that one of the interviews, he was sticking his crotch in some chick's face. oh, Mickey, this can't be good for you. And then he had the audacity to tell everyone afterwards he's going to answer these questions later, and his wife knows all about it. I'll bet she's thrilled about it. I bet they're probably making love tonight, the two of them. They're probably having relations as we speak. Yeah, she's telling him to sleep on the couch or get out is what she's telling him right now. Anyway, I'll see you tomorrow, 4 East on Coast to Coast. Sports Rage is next with my boy Morenci. Don't forget, we're doing a show together Sunday at 3 East on Sports Grid.
Nearly home. Isn't home where we all want to be? Reba here for Realtor.com, the pros' number one most trusted app. Finding a home is like dating. You're not just looking for a place to live. You're searching for the one. That's where Realtor.com comes in. Like any good matchmaker, they know exactly where to look. With over 500,000 new real listings straight from the pros every month, you could find your perfect match today. Ranch style with a pool, barn dominium with an in-law suite, Realtor.com's got them. Modern craftsman with a big yard and a treehouse out back, Realtor.com will have you saying, yep, that's the one. No more swiping. It's time to start finding. Download the Realtor.com app today, because you're nearly home. Make it real with Realtor.com.
Pros number one most trusted app based on August 2025 proprietary survey. Over 500,000 new listings every month based on average new for sale and rental listings, July 2024 to June 2025.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.